Romans chapter 8, again, and verse 35. Can anything ever separate us from the love of God? I'm reading from the NLT version. He asks the question, can anything ever separate us from Christ's love? And the question is a rhetorical question because he is speaking to believers. And he wants us to know. He's telling us something. But it is the way in which, the form in which he writes. He asks the question in order to stimulate our imagination and our thoughts. And he says, now, is there anything possibly on earth that can separate us from the love of God? And he goes on to say, does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity or persecuted or hunger or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? All of these calamitous events, he points out, and goes on in 36 to say, as the scriptures say, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. No, despite all of these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loves us. And perhaps we should go back and read it then also from the King James Version. I wanted to give you a different translation, but it's really saying the very same thing. But let's go to King James. King James says it also, it perhaps in the most powerful way. He says, who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, shall distress, shall persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, we are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Ah, but here it comes now. Nay, Paul says, in all these things we are, and watch this, more than conquerors through him that love us. And he talks about that I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nay, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. But verse 37 is really where we want to anchor again our thought tonight. In all of these things, hallelujah, we are more than conquerors. It's interesting to me and quite encouraging and should be for all of us, because Paul is expressing is the impossibility for those believers who are in Christ Jesus to be separated from him. He speaks of the inseparability that connects us to God, and that there is this inextricable connection that we have, that we cannot be separated from Christ. We can be separated from each other, but can never be separated from Christ, because we are really talking about the spiritual realm. I can be separated from my wife because we are in a different room. I can be separated from her because we are in a different city, a different state, or even a different country. But as long as the fellowship, the relationship remains, we can never be separated by time nor by space, because there is a connectivity that links us together, even though we are apart physically. There is a spiritual and an emotional connection. She's over there, but she's on my mind, and I'm over here, and I'm on her mind, and as long as we are connected in the spirit, we cannot be separated. So he tells us then in that word who we are. That is what this is all about. Thought about it, and And I thought about the chicken and I thought about the eagle, because the church, the believers, we seem to be suffering from this inferiority complex. And it is based on the fact that we really don't know who we are in Christ Jesus. The tragedy of the chicken is that the chicken doesn't really know the full purpose of why it was created. I will dare to say that when we see the chicken, it always has, most of the time, its head down in the ground. And we see the chicken and it's picking through trash, picking through grass, and it's trying to find something to satisfy its longing, its hunger. Perhaps when I look at it and when I make my assessment, I find out that the chicken is perhaps living below its standard, because the chicken doesn't know exactly who it is. And why do I say that? Why? Because the chicken has something that is so idiosyncratic about it. It has a component in its own physical constitution that it has not been made aware of. Unlike the eagle, and I'll talk about the eagle in a second, but unlike the eagle, mother hen doesn't really teach the chicken from the time that the chicken was born that it has this idiosyncratic ability. Based on what God has, how God designed it, that if you are a bird, then you are given wings. And the only reason for wings is so that you would fly. The only reason for wings is so that you would excel. The only reason for wings is so that you would rise above ground level. The chicken is always on the ground level, never having that ambition to rise higher. To excel, to go into to a dimension or on a level that is above others. I know what I'm talking about, because mom and dad, while we were children, they raised chicken. Daddy was a natural farmer, but at home, mama raised chicken, and sometimes, boy, we had dozens of them. And so the chicken has wings. And hardly know why it was given wings. That if you're given wings, you are not created to just stay on the low ground. And it's no wonder why the chicken is on the dinner table more often than almost any other bird. It is only during the times of sometimes severe emergency that you will find the chicken understanding the value of its wings. And if you chase the chicken long enough until it almost is out of breath and it wheezes and it goes right and it goes left and it wheezes and it goes right and it goes left and you are still chasing it, then it now you place the chicken into a position where it has no other alternative but to spread its wings. And it's only when it spread its wings and look to a higher plane that the chicken becomes airborne and it begins to fly. Now, it begins to fly then and there, but the wings doesn't really benefit from the wings enough. It doesn't capitalize on that ability that it has been given, because it only uses it periodically and most of the times in emergency. Yes. You know, most of the times that the chicken back home or on the farm, they're kept in the coop. And so as long as it's coop, Americans says coop, and in Jamaica they say coop. So as long as you keep it locked up in there, it doesn't get to exercise its ability. For those, and there are some, yard chicken that, they kind of figure it out, and they has the roost, and it's up a little higher, and so they fly up, and sometimes they'll even fly into low grade trees and so forth and rest there for a while. But it doesn't understand why it was given wings. For the most part, it is crawling on the ground and walking around, and when it was really designed to fly. Perhaps I might ask you the same question is, do you even know why God made you the way that he made you, and especially in the spiritual sense, why we have salvation and salvation through Jesus Christ and our connection to him is the wings to which we speak of. And so we were created to rise up and to rise above. And perhaps the dominant thought tonight is that we need to rise up out of, you know, this low ground area. Our low ground, grounded thinking in which we have. Now, you compare the chicken to the eagle, and the eagle. The eagle is the majestic bird. It is the king of the air. If the lion is the king of the jungle, then the eagle is the king of the air. My God in heaven, if I describe her in the feminine gender, the eagle has this gracious ability about it that it does not anchor itself down on the low line area. The eagle is always looking for a higher plane. It is always flying high, and here it is that the eagle has a wingspan of, they say, as far as 7 feet. If the eagle comes down to the ground, it is to pick up something to eat, and then it goes back up. It doesn't hang out on the low ground. Oh, my God. And positionally, it understands psychologically that it is of a different breed. It is of a different nature, that it has the ability to go where no ordinary person or any other thing in the earth can go, as fast as the lion or the tiger or the zebra or whatever, or the horses, as fast as they are and as far as they can go, they will never be able to rise to that precipitous height where they begin to soar and traverse through the sky. It's something wonderful to watch as it glides gracefully through the sky with this wingspan of 7 feet. And then I read somewhere that the eagle has this ability to fly anywhere from 89 to 99 miles per hour. Ushamande. That is absolutely incredible. 89 to 99 miles per hour, gliding through the air, going where no one has ever gone before, apart from the airplane. In fact, the eagle was the inspiration behind them boys that decided that they wanted to design the airplane, and the eagle was just, I'm sure them boys were fascinated by just watching the eagle glide through the air. Brothers and sisters, I want us to become conscious of what God has placed inside of us and what we have obtained as believers in Christ Jesus. Knowing Christ gives us the ability to go far, but not just to go far, but to rise high. And so you must change your mentality, and you must become like the eagle in your thoughts, in your ambition, in your desire, in your pursuit in life, and even as it relates to the challenges that we face in life. Don't just be like the chicken that has wings and don't know why it was given to you, that have these abilities inside of you, and you don't even know why you have been given it, and so you don't capitalize on it. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen tonight. Hallelujah to God. You are of a rare breed. You are an eagle. Hallelujah to God as we look at this. Now, how do you see yourself is really what I'm saying. How do you see yourself? Do you see yourself as a champion who wins nearly every battle, every fight, no matter how it turns out? Or do you see yourself as a loser, someone who struggles along, never seem to conquer a single problem, never seem to be on the dominant side, never seem to have your
foot on the neck of the enemy, but always cowering, always running in the corner, always complaining, nothing is ever going to happen for me, I'm not going to win, oh, the sky is falling, oh my God, every day is a dreary day for you. You got to change your outlook on how you see yourself, because your perception of yourself is very important. It's very critical, because it will ultimately affect the way other people see you. And people will treat you based on how they see you. And you've got to be bodacious and confident in your attitude. Otherwise, people will walk all over you and treat you like a ground bird when you were made to soar in high places. You will never be able to reach to those levels of heights and distinction if you just keep your head down to the ground. Don't bury your head like a hostage in the sand. No. You were meant to fly high. So how do you see yourself tonight is the question, hallelujah, that I think I want to ask all of you, most of you here on tonight. How is it that you see yourself? Now, have you ever met someone who had this kind of a negative self-image, or who always seemed to carry an air of inferiority? Have you met somebody like that, walking around with this sense of inferiority? They're never conscious or confident. It isn't hard to discern this kind of an attitude in people. They feel so bad about themselves that they exude their negative perception of themselves and their sense of insecurity. Oh, my God. On the other hand, though, if you've ever met individuals who are self-confident, individuals who are self-assured, then you know, brothers and sisters, that it's easy to recognize their confidence. And sometimes their confidence is misconstrued by, and sometimes some judgmental people, and sometimes some jealous people, but their self-confidence can be misconstrued to be egotistical and to be egotistical and even conceited. And some people are. They become swallowed up in their pride. But I'm telling you, confidence in God, confidence in your ability, confidence in what God has given to you is critical to your success in life. Hallelujah. Because if you have a negative perception of yourself, you will never be able to achieve, you will never be able to overcome, to possess that which God has placed in your path as your portion. Why? Because, you see, a confident person exudes confidence. A confident person exudes confidence, a sense of boldness, a sense of assurance, a sense of positivism. They're positive. They're not negative and always putting down themselves, afraid to attempt, big vision, afraid to attempt something that is unusual, unnatural, uncommon. When you lose your sense of confidence, people that are confident in what God has given to them and who they are, and confident in their self-image, hallelujah to God, they have this firm sense of assuredness, this firm sense of assurance and confidence. They speak more about winning. They speak more about victory than they do speak of defeat. They don't see themselves as losers. You got to be careful how you see yourself. Take, for example, and I know I'm moving fast because I usually don't have enough time, but I want to help somebody today, and I hope that somehow it may recalibrate your thinking and your mind about how it is that you're looking at yourself. But some of you are looking in the wrong mirror, and the wrong self-image is pointing back to you. And when you understand that you are gifted said beyond imagination. If you can allow God to open your eyes and cause you to see, hallelujah to God, like Gehazi, open your eyes and cause you to see what is inside of you, that God will give you a panoramic view, oh my God, of who you are. Some of you are living in the optical illusion of self-doubt and all of that. Baby, you gotta block all of those voices that's going through your head right now, telling you that you ought to stay down, stay down. No. You got to fix your stake on something higher, something above. Hallelujah. Look at David. It is said that David was not a very large man at all. David was not a big man. He was not, he was not your muscular 6'5", you know, the kind of a Elder Murray size, you know. No. David was the average man in size. And I want you to know that my ability is greater than my external, than the exterior, than the physical component. I've got strength that biceps and muscles, hallelujah to God, cannot help you with. David, however, as much as David was held down by his family and his father had no confidence in him, he was not a military man. He was just a little shepherd boy, 17 years old, when God decided that he was going to expose him. And daddy had no great confidence of him being, the leader of the family, the leader of the pack. But David had confidence in God. You see, he was a worshiper and he was a praiser, and you have to understand that when you give yourself to building a relationship with God and you give yourself to praise and worship, then God unveils and reveals in you the mystical components that is inside of you, that which is able to make you a conqueror, that which is able to make you excel and to climb above, hallelujah to God, the natural and the ordinary. So David knew who he was because he got alone with himself. Most of the times he was alone out there taking care of the sheep. He was just a shepherd. And when you learn to maximize your aloneness, so you don't have to be lonely, your aloneness, your quiet time, your private time with God, like we are in right now. Utilize this opportunity, hallelujah, while we are social distancing. Utilize this opportunity and build a closer relationship with God. Because, brothers and sisters, there is no place that unveils and reveals, watch this, and illuminates your self-image than in the presence of God. In the presence of God, guess what happens? Well, the light of his countenance shines on you, and as you begin to read the word of God, you begin to see who you are in comparison to what the world say that you are. So David was a confident man. If you're going to face your Goliaths, and if you're going to defeat your bears and your lions and ferocious enemies that will come against you to take your life out and to bring you to a premature death, I am telling you right now, you're going to have to get with God and tap into the strength and the might and the power of God. David knew who he was. And most importantly, David knew who he was because of who his God was. That is the reason why when he faced Goliath, He spoke with a sense of boldness. He was positive. He was confident. He was just with a sense of buoyancy and enthusiasm. The giant was bragging about how he was going to rip David's neck off and head off, and he was going to feed it to the birds of the air. What he did not understand if David had to school him. So David said to him, you come to me with sword and with spear. You come to me with the natural artillery and the weapons of war. I come to you, Eshamandebe. I come to you in the name of the Lord. There's somebody that is listening to me. There's somebody that is under the sound of my voice, because this is what Paul was talking about, that we are in constant peril, that we are under attack every moment of the day. Your family is under attack. Your finance is under attack. Your faith is under attack. Your health is under attack. Your wealth is under attack. The enemy trying to break you down any which way that he can. But we ought to ask some of these mothers, we ought to ask grandma, how in the world you made it over all these years? We ought to ask Mother Muir, how did you make it? How did you maintain your faith? Mother Muir, over 90 years old, how did you maintain your faith? If you're 90, you know that you have seen some battles. You know you have stared the devil and his angels, I mean, eyeball to eyeball. You have heard, amen, the voices that cause men to scour and to try to run to the rocks to hide themselves. How did you do it? And they will tell you, it was my confidence in God. It was my faith in God. David had so much confidence that while others were cowering and scouring, and while those were running and hiding and trembling, David said, I'll go down there and I'll take you on. I'll confront. Because if you don't confront what's attacking you, it will devour you. It will destroy you. And the longer you stand there and shake before taking action, hallelujah to God, inaction will rob you of your progress. It will rob you of the success God has laid down for you. You got to take action, honey. Man, you got to take action. You're the man of the house. You got to stand up and take action. You say, well, Bishop, you don't understand. I know failure. I know what it is to give it my best shot and not fail. Well, it's about time now that you experience what it is to give it your best shot and have victory. Hallelujah to God. Sometimes you got to just keep on hitting. And that's what happens. You know, there are no superstars that are born. I was telling my son and my daughter the other day that the only reason why men like Michael Jackson and Kobe Bryant and the other one I can't remember, the owner now of that coffee outlet. I can't remember his name. Wish I had somebody to remind me. But anyway, the only reason why they excelled to the top was because they threw one ball more higher and further and faster and with more skill than anybody else. You know, they kept on throwing the ball. They wouldn't quit. They kept on swinging the bat. They wouldn't quit. They kept on running one more lap. They wouldn't quit. They kept on doing one more push-up. They wouldn't quit. And I'm here to tell somebody, you better have confidence in God. Hallelujah. Confidence in God will build confidence in you. Hallelujah to God. And David said, I'll go down there and I'll take him. Listen to me, brothers and sisters. In this hour of COVID, we will not be swallowed or devoured by it. We will not allow it to kill our dreams and our vision. We will not allow age where we are. Okay, so I'm 50 now. If I didn't get it before, I can't get it again. Don't forget now, Abraham was 99 years old before he finally, hallelujah to God. I mean, he'd been hitting all of his life. He'd been trying for the bullseye all of his life, and it wasn't until he was 90 years old that he finally hit the bullseye. I'm telling you, you are not done. You're not finished. You still write the vision. You still lift the vision before God. You still believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that you can possibly ask, according to the power that is working inside of you. Amen, somebody. Ask God for the assurance that you will rise above and begin to do what God has called you to do. It is simply a fact. It is a simple fact that you will inevitably project what you feel about yourself to others. So this question about how you see yourself is very important. If you see yourself as a champion who wins every fight, that is exactly Oshamandebe. That is exactly how others will see you.
And in fact, you may lose some battles, but losing a battle does, or losing a fight doesn't make you a loser. Everybody trip up. Even Jesus fell with the cross. But if you see yourself as someone who struggles, watch this, and wrestles with bad self-image, that is precisely how others will perceive you. And listen to me, people will treat you how you see yourself. People will treat you, they will call you names, and the name that you answer to is exactly what defines your identity. Listen, your confession is a vivid expression of your self-perception. I want it to sink in for a little bit, because I know that I'm moving fast and I'm trying to finish one lesson within a few minutes. But this is just something that just God just got sweeping through my spirit, that I probably need to go back and listen to this again myself. Listen to me. This is what God told me. He says, your confession is a vivid expression of your self-perception. So I don't have to ask you how you feel about yourself. Well, Mrs. Brown, how do you feel about yourself? Who are you, Mrs. Brown? Oh, you'll tell me every time just based on your confession. The things that you confess regarding yourself. I haven't been able to do this because I am this. No, I haven't been able to do this because I'm not this. I don't compare yourself to nobody else. Just because the eagle can go 89 miles per hour or 99 miles up to 99 miles per hour and surf in outer space doesn't mean that you can't fly. You've been given wings. You don't have a wingspan of 7 feet across, but you've been given little wings. Baby, use what God has given to you. Some of you right now, you are in careers, you are in positions, and you are living below your standard. They are using you. You know that you're not being paid for your gifts, your abilities, for what you're good at, what you're great at. You know how hard you study. You know that sometimes the boss has to come to you to ask you questions about how to do your job. I got businessmen and I got businesswomen in the church that don't know how far they can fly. They don't know their potential. I've seen some of you, believe it or not, I've seen some of you that I would to God that I had your acumen, your business acumen. I would that I had your, I wish that my GPA was like some of you guys. I wish that I had your smarts and your intelligence and your brilliance. Courtney Williams just used what he has. Hey, you know, you say whatever you want to say. I don't have a PhD, but I'm not going to act like, I'm just some kind of an idiot and just settle with nothing. I'm spreading my wings. Well, I'm not in school, and I'm not under the tutelage of some, Ivy League scholar and professor. But I'm going to help to develop myself. I'm going to read a little bit more. I'm going to explore a little bit more. I'm going to stretch and my mind and my thinking and my perception and my horizon. Why? Because God has made me the head. If you're going to lead, the pack, then you got to go a little further. You got to know more. You got to do more. I'm telling you right now, stop settling. Stop settling. Write the program. Write the program. You know it. Write the program and execute the program. Put it before God, and God will make it happen for you. Watch this. You need to begin to recalibrate your mind and what you think about yourself. Don't define yourself by your circumstance and the conditions with which you're dealing with right now. And some of us have been placed in a negative situation, and that's just life for right now. But you got to begin to talk your way out of it. Talk your way out of it. This is temporary. This is just temporary. I don't care if you're 55 and you still have no chance. No, begin to confess it. Your confession is powerful. Your confession is a vivid expression of your self-perception. What are you talking about, Bishop? Well, your confession is the
determinant factor or component, watch this, to whether you win or whether you lose. Your confession, what you confess. You know, I'm inspired by Job because Job was placed in a situation that was more degrading, a deprivation that seemed like he was just, it was over for him. And look at Job's positive attitude in all of his suffering and his affliction. I mean, if Job knew that he was going through the valleys of the shadows of death, like David calls it, but he wasn't planning to camp out there. He was sitting there waiting until death comes. And he said that even if he was overtaken by death, Job said, though I know in whom I believe. He said, though worms may consume my flesh and eat up my body, even if death comes and consumes me, he says, yet will I see, he knows that on that day that God will raise him up and he will see God face to face. He knew that his hope was in God. He knew that not even death could destroy him. Baby, you got to speak it. You have given too much power to your disappointment. You have given too much power to the natural depravities that have encircled your life. But there's a champion in you. Begin to speak like a champion. Look the fear in the eye and declare in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I will rise above this. I will come out of this. Yes, I will. Glory be to God. Begin to speak it into your life even now as we speak. You see, people, you have to understand, people with, a low self-image is mastered by fear. They're mastered by intimidation. They're mastered by trepidation. They are mastered by indecisiveness, anxiety, yes, and worry. Can't make a decision. Can never start it. Always have the desire to do it, but can never start it because of fear factor. You got to step on the fear factor of your life. Listen to me. We are not here forever. These days you hear me talking about it more and more because I think I stepped over the half a century threshold. And I've realized now that the possibility lies that there is more behind me than is ahead of me. And I am concerned about legacy and I'm concerned about heritage. And what am I leaving behind? Baby, you got to do something with this good life God has given to you. You better impact somebody's life. You better impact your family. You better maximize the hidden, quiet potentials that are inside of you. And everybody with greatness on the inside, everybody that has a great destiny is always confronted in the pediatrical stage of their lives with this thing called fear. Baby, fear will stop you from ever. You will never be able to jump out of an airplane and experience the thrill of floating through the air in that balloon if you just think about the fear. You will never learn to swim. You will never, ever learn to swim if all you're thinking about is drowning. You know, take a shot. There's too many people swimming for me to drown. I just believe at some point you got to take authority of your life. You got to rise up and you got to take, listen, and if you're going to take a chance, I don't like that word, but if you're going to take a chance, if you're going to take a risk, you might as well do it on God where you cannot fail. It's all around living. He is the wind beneath our wings. I bind every spirit of fear right now that is trying to restrict you, that is trying to imprison you, that is trying to hold you in a holding pattern, in an old holding cell. Believe it. Believe God right now. Believe God. Believe God right now. The thing you cried about last night. The thing that you're still holding up before God and you're saying, is it possible? You don't ask God about, is it? You don't question God with some kind of a
pessimistic terms. No, we face God with optimism, not pessimism. We face God with confidence that as long as God goes with me and goes ahead of me, that we will do great exploits for God. I'm not just talking to you, I'm talking to myself. I don't want to go to God with untapped potential. I don't want to go back to heaven. What good is it going to be to me in heaven? When we get to heaven, we will be working in a realm of almost infinity in comparison to what we're dealing with here on earth. Yes, all of our abilities will be expanded. It will increase. It will elasticize. It is there that we will understand the greatness that we had here working with. I want you, in the name of Jesus Christ, to attempt greatness, to attempt great things. Do not be mastered by fear. Do not be mastered by timidity, trepidity, indecisiveness, anxiety, and this thing called worry. God is with you. It is Paul talking. And so Romans 8 and 37, and he says, we got to look to this now, to the word of God, and what it says about us. In this verse, Paul now, where am I? In this verse, Paul now brings us into how God really, really sees us. How what God envisions of us. And we've got to, in fact, before I get there, I want to say this. Let us not be mastered by the negative elements of our lives. I don't care about your failures. And I don't care what class you didn't pass and what class you failed. And I don't care how that you didn't have more than a fifth grade, education. No, you've got ability inside of you that surpasses scholastic ineptness and inability. Glory be to God. Look at Proverbs chapter, I believe it's Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1. Here's what Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 1 says. It says, the righteous is as bold as a lion. When you got boldness, when you got courage, something that comes from confidence, and especially if this is not just self-confidence, a confidence that comes out of knowing God, a confidence that comes out of having a relationship with God, a confidence of knowing that, hey, the Creator, the Infinite One is with me. So come up against me. Come against me if you want to, but you're going to have to come through him before you touch me. That's the kind of a boldness. That's the kind of confidence. That's the kind of a positivity that all of us need to have and to stand on. We are as bold as a lion. When is the last time you saw a lion running from a giraffe? Because the giraffe was so big and tall. When is the last time you see a lion running from an elephant? But tell me, where does it run from it? Does it run from the zebra? It doesn't run from great, big, mighty animals, because it understands I'm the king of the jungle. I'm the king of the jungle, not because I'm the biggest in the jungle, but I have the ability to cut down the greatest of them all. I've got speed. And that allows me then to overcome. And I've got agility and precision. And that allows me to maneuver and to outsmart and to overpower my enemy. Lions will gang up on a big elephant and will take him down to the ground. Hallelujah to God. And I'm telling you that the righteous, the Bible says, is as bold as a lion. We must be fearless in every attempt in life, and stand upon the word of God and watch what God will do through us. So Paul tells us, as I close, brothers and sisters, despite what you think of yourself, despite your self-image and how you see yourself, please understand, Paul says in chapter 8 and 37 of Romans, please understand, he says, that we are more than conquerors. Notice how it's collective. It is a corporate assessment of God's children. It's as if a man is saying, I was at the funeral service of Sister Lorraine, our father, a few weeks ago, at the homegoing service, and they kept on a resounding statement that was made from the time that he passed away. I would listen to the family talk, and they says, because you are a DeBeetham. And so if you are a DeBeetham, there is certain standards and certain expectations that comes with being a DeBeetham. You understand what I'm saying? And so there is a certain standard that has been set. Well, the fact that we are children of God, we are identified not merely by our weaknesses. We are identified by whose we are. We are conquerors. Why? Because he is the conquering lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the God that can never fail and the God that will always prevail. And you've got to understand that. So in the name of Jesus, when I face my conditions, Father, I face these challenges in the strength of the Lord, in the wisdom of the Lord, in the God of all of my salvation. Glory be to God. Paul says, change the way that you think about yourself and things will change for you. Hallelujah. We are more than conquerors. That's who we are. Through him that loved us, I want to especially draw your attention to the phrase more than conquerors. It comes from the Greek word hupernikos. Hupernikos. And I'm just going to give it to you and you go study it for the rest of this week, and I'll bring it back up again next Wednesday night, Life Spare. Hupernikos, and it is a compound word. It is hupa and nikos. There's two words. And by joining these two words, hupa and nikos, together into one word, Paul is making one fabulous, jam-packed, power-filled statement about you and about me. And baby, until you begin to square your shoulders with the little that you have or the much that you have and begin to declare and state your identity in the midst of troubling circumstances and prevailing adversities, until you begin to let the enemy know who I am, hallelujah, you will always have to stand down. You will always find yourself being beaten and crushed to the ground. I'm telling you right now that I am a winner. I'm telling you that I am a survivor. I'm telling you, if nobody comes out alive, I'm coming out on top. And that's why you got to keep on talking. That ain't no egotism. That's not no self-conceit. Baby, that is confidence in the Lord, the God of our salvation. And I'm so glad tonight that you joined me here. Hallelujah to God tonight to have me to share with you what God is putting in my spirit. And I declare in the name of Jesus that I'm not going to back up. I'm not going to back down. I'm not backing out, but I'm standing firm in the Lord. I'm going to stand tall in the midst of gruesome circumstances and in the midst of challenges and in the midst of all kinds of scrutiny and all kinds of misrepresentation, in the midst of shame, in the midst of what could be public reproach. I'm standing firm in the Lord, because when he has tried me, say it, I shall come forth as pure gold.